Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. When we sin, we cause pain, not just to ourselves, but to others around us. Today we look at sin and its consequence, death. And we look at what God did to break the cycle of sin and free us for joyful obedience in Christ. So grab your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 6, and join us as we look at freeing ourselves from sin. Our scripture lesson this week comes to us from the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Last week we began a sermon series called The Theology of Ministry. Ministry is something that is not restricted to the pulpit. Ministry is something for all believers. Everyone who is a believer in Christ is called to a ministry of some sort. If it's not a pulpit ministry, it could be a music ministry, or it could be a ministry to the sick, a ministry to the downtrodden. It could just be showing love to someone who doesn't know love. It could be proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, or it could be just giving a smile to someone who needs a smile. We are all called into ministry. And so, one of the things that our communion liturgy says is, free us for joyful obedience. Free us for joyful obedience. And it sounds like a contradiction. How can we be freed for obedience? We're going to look at that this morning as we look at the words of Paul in his letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Let us hear now the word of the Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye now are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end after everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May God pour out His rich blessing upon this, the reading of His holy word. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This past week at Pittman United Methodist Church, they had Vacation Bible School. And as in years past, I volunteered to help out with their Vacation Bible School. It was a strange year this year because they're in a transition. Their senior pastor is leaving to go to another church and they are receiving another senior pastor. So there was no pastor there this week. I played the role of Moses. Rather large shoes to fill, if you ask me. But it was interesting to see how the kids responded to Moses' stories of the things that were going on in the desert. On the first night, we walked through the Red Sea. There were stuffed sharks and crabs and stuff on the floor, and people were spraying bottles of water at us. That was really a lot of fun. The kids wanted to do that every night. And I had to tell them, no, we're not going through the Red Sea again. We already went through it once, you know. Always save the best stuff for the last night, because otherwise they just want to do it every night. Last year, we gave them Tootsie Rolls on the first night, and then they wanted Tootsie Rolls every single night. To the point where this week, or this year, they asked if they were getting Tootsie Rolls on the first night. So, after the Red Sea, the kids, we talked about the manna and the quail. And they had frosted flakes for the manna, and they had peeps for the quail. That was exciting. Very messy. I was doing a lot of vacuuming that night. And on the third night, we talked about the battle between the Israelites and the Amalekites, and how Moses had to hold his staff in the air. And if his arms fell, the Amalekites would win. And if he held his staff up, the Israelites would win. So we had two people, Aaron and Hur, to hold his arms up. On a fourth night, we talked about the Passover, when the angel of death came to take the firstborn child of every Egyptian family. And we painted lamb's blood on a door. And I told them that it was a perfect lamb that we had to sacrifice, and it was his blood which saved us. And I said, you might hear that again sometime. Finally, on the last night, we talked about the Ten Commandments, which is a very difficult topic to talk about with preschoolers and kindergartners and first graders. But we had 9 mouse traps and 2 rat traps laid out on the floor. I was so excited about bringing kids into this room. And then I had to take a gentleman who was, his character was Malachi, and he had to close his eyes and take off his shoes, and I had to lead him through the mouse traps and the rat traps. Oh, talk about a trust fall. But this guy, he did it 4 times, by the way. He did it, and each of the traps represented one of the commandments. And I would say, you know, that if we break this commandment, it's painful. And I would snap the trap, and it made everybody would jump. And it was very good illustration, I thought. And that's why I used it this morning. We fall into these traps of sin. We think that by giving in to our fleshly desires, that we are gaining something, but in fact, we are losing something. You know, one of the people at Ebenezer this morning asked me, well, how did you talk about adultery? That's pretty heavy for a little kid. Well, we didn't say the word adultery. We said that husbands and wives need to honor each other. And what happens if they don't honor each other? And one of the kids said, they get divorced. Divorce is so prevalent in our society, it's the first thing they think of. You know? And I told them, you know, when a couple gets divorced, they're not the only ones who hurt. It's their families. It's their children. It's their friends. Everybody hurts from divorce. And so it was a good illustration. This morning in our reading, Paul is telling the church in Rome, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. He's saying, you have made yourselves slaves to sin. The thing that you serve is your servant. The thing that you serve is your servant. We talked about how sin is honoring our flesh before honoring God. You know, God gave us rules to live by. Not to be a tyrant, not to be a micromanager, but to help us. Because when we break those rules, it becomes very painful. Just like those mouse traps and the rat traps. It's a very painful thing when we break those rules. God wants to spare us from that pain, and that's why He gives us those rules to follow, guidelines to live by. What do? Inevitably, we break the rules. It's part of our nature. From the very beginning, God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and He said to them, "You can do anything you want. You can eat anything. Anything in here. All the fruit is yours. You have complete dominion over this place. It's paradise. The only thing I ask you not to do is don't eat the fruit from that tree." And what did they do? Just like children. If you want a child to do something, tell them not to do it. And they will do it. Within 5 minutes, usually. Adam and Eve broke the one commandment they were given. The one commandment. They only had one to follow. The Israelites in Moses' time had 613, not just the Ten Commandments, but there were 613 laws in the Mosaic Law. Some positive, you will do this, and some negative, you will not do this. But that's a lot of laws to follow. It was a weighty burden for them to carry. But Paul was saying that when you give in to sin, that becomes your servant. Or you become a servant to sin. That becomes your master. You are a slave to sin. And we think of slavery as something different than what they thought of as slavery. You see, the Hebrews understood slavery in these terms. They would indenture themselves to pay a debt that they couldn't pay. If they owed a debt and they couldn't pay it, they would indenture themselves to the person they owed the debt to and become their slave. And then they would do whatever that person asked them to do. But in Moses' law, every 7 years, those slaves were set free. After 7 years of service, you were done. But what if you put yourself in debt again? You had to enslave yourself again to pay that debt. This is the image that Paul is using. He's saying you are making yourself indebted to sin. You are becoming a slave to sin. Let not sin, he says, neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't give yourself over to sin, to be sinful people. But, he says, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. What does it mean to be an instrument of righteousness? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And he said, let your light shine before people that they would see your good works and give glory to your Father, which is in heaven. Everything that we do needs to point to God. Everything that we do needs to point to the one who made us. We give glory to God. So he says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace. And that's a hard concept to understand. Well, if we're not under the law, then does that mean that we get to do whatever we want? And that is the struggle that the Roman church was going under at that time. What do? If we're no longer under the law, then we don't have to obey the law. That's not what Paul is saying. In fact, when we are shown the grace of God, then we naturally want to be obedient to His law. Free us for joyful obedience. That's what our liturgy says. Free us for joyful obedience. Let's put it this way. If I were to get on the 295 and I were driving 90 miles an hour, I'm breaking the law. And by breaking the law, I'm putting other people in jeopardy. I'm endangering myself. Well, what happens? Well, you know what George Carlin said? He said, you know, cop didn't see it, I didn't do it. The problem is, cop always sees it. Cop always sees it. Well, God being God, seeing all, knowing all, there's nothing that we can do that escapes His notice. When we break the law, He sees it. He sees it. When I think about all that He has done for us, how we have broken His law over and over and over and over again. We've been rebellious. It's part of our nature, like I said. And yet, through all that, He sent His Son to die for us. God provided the sacrifice. We read in the book of Genesis this morning how Abraham was asked to take his only son, Isaac, and sacrifice him in the mountains of Moriah. I can't even imagine what was going through his mind. But he went to do it. He was obedient to the word of God. Why? Well, because God had already given him a promise. God said to him, "If you can number the stars, so shall your descendants be." Well, here was Abraham, an old man with one son. And God is now asking him to sacrifice that one son. He must have been thinking, well, how in the world am I supposed to have descendants like the sands of the seashore or like the stars in the sky? Trust God. That's what he said. I'll trust God and I'll just do it. In fact, when Isaac was, when they were going up into the mountains, Isaac said to him, "Father, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Abraham uttered these very prophetic words, "God himself will provide the lamb. God himself will provide the sacrifice." And that's exactly what he did at the cross of Jesus Christ. Because God asked Abraham to sacrifice his one and only son, which he was willing to do, but God stopped him at the last minute. And instead, God sent his own son, his only son, to die for all of us. For all of us. He says, "We were made free from sin and became servants of righteousness." Servants of righteousness. We become a servant of the thing that we serve. And if we serve sin, sin is our master. But if we serve righteousness, then God is our master. And that's the way it should be. God is our master. He says, when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Well, if you're a servant to sin, then you have no righteousness. And you don't serve righteousness. And we're not going to worry about all that. But we think about what God did. Because it's not about what we do. It's not about the things that we do. It's not about the righteousness that we have. We get our righteousness from the one who took our sins and nailed them to the cross. It's very hard to understand God's grace. I think about it this way. Going back to my story about driving down 295. If I'm driving 90 miles an hour down 295 and a cop pulls me over, there's two things that he could do for me. Number one, he can write a ticket and give it to me. I have to pay a fine. That's called justice. The law was broken, and the law is very clear about the punishment for that law being broken. The penalty was issued and paid. What happens to me? I pay the fine. I get points on my license. My insurance rates go up. You know, all kinds of bad things happen to me because I broke the law willfully. There's a second thing that the cop can do. The cop can say, listen, I know you were going 90 miles an hour, and I know that's a steep fine and points on your license, but you look like a good guy, and I know you probably didn't mean it, so I'm gonna let you go. I'm just going to give you a warning this time, but I'm not going to give you a ticket. Well, that's called mercy. That's called mercy. The law was broken, but there was no penalty issued. It's not justice. It's mercy. But in God's economy, there is a third thing that this police officer can do. And that is, he can come up to my window and he could say, listen, I clocked you doing 90 miles an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone. It's 25 miles an hour over the speed limit. You broke the law. And then he shows me the ticket, and on the ticket is his name. And he says, I'm writing this ticket to myself. I'm going to pay the fine. I'll take the points. My insurance will go up. The law was broken. The penalty was paid, but not by me. I didn't deserve it. That's grace. That's grace. God paid the penalty for my sin. Not because I deserved it, but because He loved me. It's a gift. It's a free gift. But like any gift, in order to obtain the benefit of having that gift, you have to accept the gift. 6:23 is really the pivotal point in this whole passage. The wages of sin is death. Wages are something that you earn. When you work at your job, you earn a wage. And your reward for working your job is your wage, whatever you're paid. If you work at sin, the wage that you earn is death. Going back to Adam and Eve, God told them that if they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they would die. And when they ate from the tree, they didn't just drop dead, but death entered into the world because they sinned. The penalty for sin is death. That's why the Jews had a sacrificial system. Their sacrifices were to pay for their sins. Something had to die. They had to sacrifice a perfect lamb. A perfect lamb without blemish had to be sacrificed to take their sin away. So now Paul tells us, the wages of sin is death. But, and that is a really great but. This is an awkward thing for me to say, but there are a lot of really great buts in the Bible. But this is one of the best buts that I've ever seen in the Bible, I'm telling you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. It's a gift. We don't earn it. It's not a wage. It's not something that we work at. It's not something that we do. It's what He does. He gives it freely. It's a gift. And if you go down the stairs on Christmas morning and you see a huge gift under the tree, and you say, I don't deserve that. I don't want it. Take it back. Well, you don't benefit from having the gift if you don't ever accept it or open it. God offers this gift freely. Our responsibility is just to accept the gift. And there's a lot of people who won't accept the gift. But maybe someday they will. And maybe someday they do. It's a gift. It's not by what we do, what He's already done. Jesus Christ paid a debt He didn't owe because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. It's a free gift. And just like Abraham, said, God Himself provided the perfect lamb for the sacrifice. This morning, you might be weighed down by sin. You might be struggling with something. I know we struggle with sin all the time. Even I struggle. But God wants to lift that burden off of us. Jesus said, "Come to me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He wants to lift this burden off of us. And so if you're struggling with something, I'm going to offer us a time of prayer at the altar this morning to come and just lay your burdens at the feet of Jesus Christ. He will take those burdens with Him onto the cross. He lifts our sins and nails them to the cross, being justified by Jesus Christ. Is like, it's just as if I'd never sinned. And God leaves all that at our feet. He says, it's a gift, take it. And all we have to do is accept the gift. I'm going to invite you this morning to accept the gift of grace, God's grace, in your own lives. If you're weighed down by a burden, I want you to come up to the altar this morning and just lay it at the feet of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, we give great thanks for the incredible sacrifice that Your Son offers us at the cross. We know that we don't deserve it. We know that we've rebelled against You. We've rebelled against Your love. But we also know that Your love never ends. You're always calling to us. You extend to us this gift of grace. And so now we accept that gift. We lay our burdens at Your feet. Lord God, You know the burden of our hearts. You know our sin. You know what weighs us down. We want to leave it all behind. We want to unshackle ourselves. We want to free ourselves. We want to be lifted up. We lay these things at Your feet, Lord, for You to take. We give thanks to You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. The love He showed us at the cross. The grace that You showed us. We open the door of our hearts, Lord. We invite You in. You are our God, and we are Your people. And let us live for you, Lord. Let us surrender our lives to you. Let us be for you and for you alone. And let everything that we do and everything that we say and everywhere that we go and all that we have and all that we are be for your glory and yours alone. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. If our message has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.